Many of us have heard the expression to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we understand that it's times like these when we are surrounded by fear and insecurity and worry. They are open doors for us to do just that. Pastor Tim challenges us today to find ways to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Thank you for joining us.
And, it's been a wonderful service. Like I said before, it's been kind of interesting for me. I've been walking up down the aisles. It's been kind of fun. My thought went back to my dad running up down the aisles back in the day. And I always said, Lord, that one of these days I might even run. And so one of these, like Sunday like this, might be a good time for me to do it. But I want you to know that God is here. God is able. God is able. I'm sure there are preachers across the world be taking at a stand behind a pulpit or a music stand like I am today, or sitting with a computer, a screen, maybe in their office to the side, that they'll be giving hope to the world. The preachers will be doing it in different ways to give hope to the world that is afraid and not sure what the future holds and maybe what even the other present holds. But throughout Scripture, God's people have found themselves, or the world has found themselves, in serious situations. You know, but the Lord will come to the rescue, even when it's our own doing. But the Lord will come to our rescue. Where people will just humble themselves, if we people of God will humble themselves, you know, many consequences might come because of what we've done, or the actions we've taken or haven't taken. But the Lord always remains faithful. He remains faithful in any type of situation. Throughout all of history, I remember Paul and Silas, they find themselves in a prison, and they could have said, woe is me. I'm in prison. I've been preaching the gospel. God has been doing wonderful things, but here we are in a prison. Here we are in prison. But they could have been, woe is me, but they begin to sing. They begin to sing songs and begin to sing unto the Lord. I wonder what song that they were singing. I wonder what song they were singing. But, you know, like I said, they could have said, woe is me. But through their faithfulness to the Lord and knowing that God is always going to be faithful, God knowing that Jesus is always faithful, a prison guard's family accepts the Lord. You know, if they had said, woe is me, and was complaining, that family would never have known Jesus Christ. The guard took the message to his family and what he saw a Christ do in them. Well, that's good news of the gospel. Here he is. We're not alone. We are not alone. No, the ones who know Jesus Christ, and you are secure no matter what is going on around us. Even though we might let fear come in, and there's been moments through this time that, I'll be honest with you, there have been times that fear would slip into my heart. But I will always go back to these type of stories of Paul and Silas in prison, and it encourages my heart. You know, once again, the ones who know Jesus Christ, we should be secure in that. Let me say this, and I've heard this said many, many times by different preachers I've listened to this past week or so. This did not catch God by surprise. And I want to echo that also. It didn't catch him by surprise. But here's the thing. These moments in history will say a lot about our individual faith, and it will say a lot about the faith that's in the churches throughout the world. These moments in history will determine will determine how our faith in the Lord is. Well, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 4, the 2 through 6. Here's some scripture that I used about 3 years ago now for our vision for the year. I want you to turn to Colossians 4, 2 through 6. I'm hoping it might be online for you to watch, to read along. It's not. But I want you to hear God's word today. You might want to stand where you are in your home. And I want you to stand and honor God's word with your family. You know, I'll just say this outset. Maybe this is a beginning for all of us to have these moments in our home. I believe that God's going to use this thing to teach us different things as moms and as dads and our children, that this moment that you're having now where you go, no, I like this. This is good. This is a good thing. So I hear God's word today. Allow it and encourage our heart. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, to pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in a prison, so that I may reveal it clearly, as I should. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always, not sometimes, not every now and then, not when you feel good or feel bad, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. That's a good word today. Wherever you are, I hope you can be seated wherever you are. This year, one part of the Vision 2020 that the Lord spoke in my heart back in September of last year, sometime in that area, was to challenge us, to challenge myself and my family, to challenge you as a congregation, to establish a place that you go and pray. A prayer closet, as it says in one translation, to go into your prayer closet and shut the door. And shut the door and really begin, I think, to get in really in some strong business with the Lord. Really begin to pray to Him and seek His face. Little do we know that what the future would hold. The future would hold. And I'm confident that those that have signed the paper, that have sent me pictures of your prayer closet, that you've been interceding, you've been praying for this nation, for the world, and for those who are sick. Little do we know what the future would hold. And I'm just praying this time in our lives, it will push us to the prayer closet. It will continue to push us to that prayer closet. Because the Lord is using this time to teach us some wonderful things if we will just allow Him. If we will just allow that our hearts to be open, He wants to teach us. In the scripture here, Paul had just got finished giving some rules of life, about the home, how wives are supposed to act towards their husbands, and husbands act towards their wives, and how the children are supposed to obey their parents. And he comes down to this to give us some practical things. Devote yourselves to prayer. This word here is like a command, is a functioning as we continue to pray. We can continue to pray in any circumstance, as it says in if you look at the word here, and in circumstance, no matter what they are, no matter if they're good or they're bad, he says pray. It says that things that come along with prayer, things that happen when we pray. I know when I pray, just the business of that I'm trying to get out of this business over here, and I'm trying to set myself apart. And when I begin to walk in my prayer closet, which is in here, is that sometimes my mind is going so many different directions that it takes me a moment or two, or a minute or two, or sometimes 5 minutes to really begin to allow my heart to intercede, my heart begin to really express to the Lord what I sense that He's leading me to pray. We live in a busy world. We live in a world that is, we are hidden by all sides of media and social platforms. And we're taking in so much information in billboards on the street that's been with us for years. And now the social platforms that we spend so much at a time on. That stuff gets in our heart and our mind, that when it's time to go to the prayer closet to devote ourselves to that moment, it takes a time to get it kind of sorted all out. And I know if you were here today, there would be some amens. There would be some amens. I just heard two amens. In any circumstances, we pray. We pray. It's difficult at times, isn't it? But I remember when Jesus looked at Peter one time, and this is the importance of prayer. Jesus looked at Peter before Jesus went to the cross, and he looked at Peter and says that the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. And Jesus says, I pray that your faith will not fail. Peter's response was immediately, Lord, I will go to death with you. I will go to death with you. Jesus responded, I'm going to pray your faith will not fail. But Peter ignored, and just reading through the scripture here and seeing where Peter was at the moment, those words that are coming through Jesus' mind, I'm trying to put myself in his place. You know, like, you know, the Lord says to me that the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. And I think in every Christian's life, you've had those moments. Every one of us has. And I'm trying to get what Peter was thinking when he heard those words. And Peter's response was, Lord, no, I will go. Don't worry about me. I'll go to death with you. And Jesus looked at him and said, before the rooster crows, you would deny me three times. I wonder what went through Peter's heart and mind. What could the response could have been? Could the response could have been, Lord, thank you for praying. Lord, teach me to pray right now that I won't fall into that temptation, or I won't give in when that moment is I have to make a stand for you. That could have been that Peter could have looked at him with a humble heart and says, I would never deny you, because I know, Lord, that I know that my flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. So, Lord, let me pray to you when that moment comes. And he did deny him, and he wept the bitter tears. Could have been different if he had devoted himself to that prayer. Sometimes it's not convenient to pray. And the word of God throughout, from Genesis to Revelation, you pray. It says here that we have to keep alert. It says that we got to keep alert. That word there in the Greek means that we have to be awake. Just not be alert means be awake, which is the opposite of being that we should not sleep during this time. It means to be awake, to be alert, to be open, and understanding that there is over in 1 Peter, and he learned later that the devil is roaming as a roaring lion that's trying to lead us. It's that we have to be alert, be awake, and don't sleep in these moments. And Paul could have been thinking about when Jesus told his disciples not to sleep when they went into a garden. He says, stay here, stay up with me, and pray. And as Jesus walked over to the side and began, it says in the word, that he began to sweat almost, blood, it just such his heart was entrenched in what was going on in his life at that moment and what he had to accomplish on the cross. He had to spend time in prayer with his Father. And he says things like, Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. I'm not sure, Lord, but I want your will to be done. How would our life change if we devoted ourselves to that prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden? That he prayed in the garden, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And as he was praying, he goes back to disciples, and they were not alert. They were asleep. And here it begins to happen. They come in and arrest them, and they scatter. Could it have been different if they had just obeyed the master? It says, I know what's going about to happen. Stay alert. Hours later, as I pointed to before, hours later, Peter denies him. Standing by a fire, as a little lady began to accuse him and others began to accuse him, you know the man. And he says those words, I don't know who he is. But we fast forward. After Jesus had ascended, we find Peter again, as the church has been issued into the world, and he's in prison. And the beautiful thing about it, while he was in prison, the church was praying. It's a beautiful story of how as we devote ourselves to prayer, keeping alert, they were praying that God would deliver Peter from prison. And they were fervently praying, as the word says over in Acts. Fervent prayer, meaning they was meeting together and coming together in that small house church to pray for their leader that would be delivered. Well, God delivered Peter, and Peter comes and knocks on the door. The maid named, anyway, she has a name. And so she comes to the door, Rhoda. I love the name. I'll slow down, Rhoda. You know, I used to hate when people says, Tim, just slow down. Think about what you're saying. Never say that to someone that stutters, okay? Just for, you know, for future use. But she comes to the door, and she sees that it's Peter, and she's so excited that she don't even let him in. Because she knew the church is praying, Peter is outside the door, God had heard their prayers. She runs back into the church where they're praying and says, guess what? Peter's at the door. Their response should have been, praise God, we have faith that God would deliver. They go, no, he's not. He's in prison. They were praying, and I think they were praying a fervent prayer in faith, but sometimes I believe that we pray, and when the Lord answers, we're like, surprise. But he answers that prayer because he is a good God. He wants to give us a good things. And so she said, no, he's really out there. And another whole side message, it's amazing how God uses those that nobody ever, probably no one ever listened to her very much, how God uses those to really announce what he is doing. And so they finally realize that he is at the gate, at the door, and they see what God had done, what God had done. It says here that we need to devote ourselves to prayer, keeping alert, end it with thanksgiving. Why is this important that we put thanksgiving within our prayers? I believe that it keeps us focused in praying the will of the Lord. When I'm in a thankful spirit, I'm not selfish. When I'm giving in thanksgiving, I don't get self-absorbed in my prayers. And don't get me wrong, I believe we need to pray for whatever we need to pray for ourselves. But within thanksgiving, it keeps me focused on God's will and be thankful, as Paul wrote in Thessalonians, be faithful in all things, be thankful for all things that is going on. You know, I said this before many times in sermons. There's many times in my being having a stuttering issue in my life. You know, I would pray, I pray often, Lord, you can take it completely away from me. But in my prayer, I offer thanksgiving to the Lord that he knows what he's doing with me. That thanksgiving, Lord, I understand. I'm thankful, Lord, that I'm going to praise you in all things. I'm going to be thankful in all circumstances, Lord. And Lord, if you choose to take this speech impediment away from me, that'd be great. If you don't, I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to have thanksgiving within my heart and soul. It keeps us from becoming bitter when we see things that we think that we need and we pray for and God doesn't answer the way we think he should answer. Thanksgiving keeps us open for God's will, for us to pray his will. Because if you're around a person that is thankful, you very seldom ever see anything that they're not self-absorbed at all. It's not always about them. It's always about someone else. It's always they're praying about something. You know, but out of Paul here in this next verse, you know, about praying about ourselves, he says, but y'all pray for me. In other words, y'all pray at the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word. Even in his prayer for himself, it was always had a greater purpose. We find Paul throughout, he would say things, y'all pray for strength for me. Y'all pray for my needs. But he always had a goal to spread the gospel. It wasn't just something that's selfish, Lord, I need, and I won't. It was always a move to, Lord, use me, show me the way that I can do what you call me to do. It says that you're open this door for the word, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. He won't be able to declare the mystery of Jesus Christ. You may say, what is the mystery of Jesus Christ? You know, people have asked me that before. And the only way that I know how to answer that is, and I've said this before, the only thing I know is when I see somebody lost and the Lord is speaking to their heart and they get saved and they were this way and now they're this way. Sometimes that's a mystery to us. On how Lord changes lives. I think of some, and I think a Ginger comes to mind often, and y'all pray for Ginger. She's the one that has lost her job, and that the Lord will meet her needs. And we as ones with a family, she could be the one that you could come alongside and help. I think about her life and way the Lord has molded her and made her new. And she didn't realize what she was doing this week when she called me. Is that she was praying that the Lord will open up a door. She called me, she says, if you got any of the senior adults that need anything, he says, Pastor Tim, you call me. I want to walk through that door and meet that need. That's what it means declare the mystery of Christ, when the Lord takes somebody that is broken and undone and in the very pit of sin and makes a new creation out of them. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the mystery of Christ. And Paul says, which I'm in prison, as he's writing this, as I'm in a prison. And it could mean, some even saying, as a spiritual prison, to make sure that I do what he's called me to do. In the end, that Paul always asks for strength for the gospel, that the Lord will be glorified in everything that he would do. And as we move into verse 5, here's the practical. Paul always, at the end of his letters, begins to give us some practical information. Practical stuff. One of the scriptures that has really affected my life as a follower of Jesus Christ, as really has led me, and when the Lord began to reveal the scripture to me a few years ago, you know, on how important it is for us to conduct ourselves wisely toward outsiders. This word outsiders is not a politically correct word that a lot of churches would never use, but the NRSV, I think, translates it well. Outsiders are those that who do not know Jesus Christ. We have to recognize that there are people outside the church that don't know him. And I'm glad that the scripture leads us to conduct ourselves wisely. We can pray and pray, but we leave the prayer closet and act unwisely to outsiders and even to our Christian brothers and sisters, then it will hurt the witness of the Lord. We can pray and pray and pray, but if it doesn't change us in the prayer closet, then we're wasting our time. I've said, you know, the Lord has been dealing with me once again and showing me is that the time in the prayer closet, we find strength there. We find direction there. And when we are having circumstances of life, it leads us to the wisdom and the knowledge as we walk out through this. But I don't want to act unwisely. I don't want to act in a way that would take away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul here is saying, conduct ourselves wisely. Conduct ourselves in a way that is we make most of our time. In other words, this door he prayed for, when the door is open, Lord, let me walk through it with love. When you open that door and those moments that we have throughout our day, as those doors begin to open for us to share the mystery of Christ, in those moments, Lord, help me to walk through that door with love. In those moments, and speak kindness, but speak truth. Social media during this time of crisis in our world has been at times very encouraging, but at times very discouraging. Is that people begin to line up on each side and saying whose fault it is and whatever the case is. You know, we have a lot of our families for the very first time, they're having to deal with their children to be at home while some of them are at work. You know, and some are having to take off work to be with their children, and they don't understand just the balance and all this on how they're going to make ends meet and plus take care of their children and who's going to watch over those. One of the best things we can do is be kind towards those parents. To be kind towards those, because the world is looking at the church for direction. They're looking for someone to speak some really lawful truth to them. And so I want to be one of those that I don't judge a parent on the way that they feel. There's a lot of fear there. There's a lot of stuff going on that they don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. And so we have to, as a church, come on and encourage them to lead them. Because many don't know what they're going to do in this time. How they're going to make ends meet and plus teach their children at home. I know that many of you work all day long. And then you have to go home and spend time in school with your children. Let me encourage your heart that the Lord's going to be with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to watch over you. But this is conducting ourselves wisely, being an encouragement, not a discouragement. Not to judge in the moment that we should be the church that says, hey, I'm going to come alongside you in some form. I don't know how I can do it because we've got to stay away from one another. But Lord, lead us on how we can open that door as you open that door. I mean, that we walk through that door to help families. I don't know what the answer of that is yet. I'm praying the Lord will reveal how we can help. But social media during this time is basically how we're going to communicate a lot with the world. And as they pull up our social media posts on whatever that is, on whatever platform that you have, let it be seasoned with salt. Be gracious in your words, it says. To be gracious in your words. When you walk through that door, let it be seasoned with salt. Let my words and my actions to be gracious, because I don't want to conduct myself in a way that I hurt someone's heart or I begin to fuss on social media back and forth. That my words will be gracious. They will be truthful, but full of grace. Full of grace. The world is looking at us. They need encouragement. They need an answer. It says here, Lord, help me know how to answer everyone. That's a big, big task. That's a big task that Paul was saying, Lord, that I may know how you ought to answer everyone. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outside, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. I don't have the answers to everything. I don't have the answers to it all. We find ourselves in a moment in history, and I want the history books to write, the church was faithful. That the church was faithful. I want my children, as they remember this time, that daddy and mama was faithful to Jesus. That we conducted ourselves wisely towards others. That we just did not lock ourselves in our homes and just forget the world. That we kept going to our prayer closet and devoting ourselves to prayer. Lord, how can we be used? How, when those doors open those for us, that we can walk through those doors? The world is looking for answers. As James and Amy come and begin to play, we have, I believe, a great opportunity. A wonderful opportunity for the Lord to use us and to direct us. But my prayer is, are you ready? Are you alert? But are you asleep? Which one is it? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And I want you to understand that He is the answer. I'm going to read something to us as they come together. I'm going to step over to the side or as they come up. I got to thinking, I've used this before, about a forgiveness, and it was something, Lord, how do we conduct ourselves wisely? And how can we practical? You know, I talk about Corrie Ten Boom a lot. And this is the story just comes to mind on how she had to make a decision of forgiveness, because she said, Lord, it says in your word, if you cannot forgive those, how can the Lord forgive? We ask for forgiveness from the Lord. Where, see, Corrie Ten Boom was in a concentration camp, and she suffered many things. She and her sister, they were there together, and how they helped one another and loved one another and talked with one another. Well, while her sister was there, her sister, she died there. Corrie Ten Boom finds herself at a conference, and she just got through speaking at a conference. And you're talking about a door that opened for her? It was a tough door that opened for her. But you have to understand, when we begin to devote ourselves to prayer, and we pray what Paul prayed, Lord, open the door for me, that I can walk through that door and be a blessing. That, Lord, that I'll be able to answer those with love, with kindness. That when I make a social media post, it will be full of truth, but full of love. That, Lord, I'll encourage and not judge. we'll lift each other up, and this door opened for her, and this is how wide that door can just fling open. She was speaking. And after she was speaking, she says she was put to the test in 1947 while speaking in a church. At the close of a service, a balding man in a gray overcoat stepped forward to greet her. Corey froze. She knew this man well. He'd been one of the most vicious guards at the concentration camp she was in. One who had mocked the women prisoners as they shawled. It came back with a rush, she wrote. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor. The shame of walking naked past this man. This experience that she's having here. And now he was pushing his hand out to shake hers at this meeting. A fine message, he said. How good is it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. That's what he just said to her. And I, who have spoken so easy of forgiveness, as Corey is saying here, I fumble in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. Says he would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather of the crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze, as she writes here. Well, you mentioned the name of the concentration camp in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Again, the hand came out, will you forgive me? See, that door flung open for her at that moment. As I stood there, she writes, I whose sins had again to be forgiven and could not forgive. Betsy, which was her sister, had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? The soldier stood there expectantly, waiting for Corey to shake his hand. She wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do, for I had to do it, and I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. Standing there before the former officer, concentration officer, Corey remembered that forgiveness is an act of the will, not an emotion. Jesus, help me, she prayed. Remember, devote yourselves to prayer in these moments when that door swings open. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling, Lord. And Corey thrust her hand out. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. She says, I love you, brother. I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then, but even so, I realized it was not my love. I had tried and did not have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. My prayer for us, as we walk this week, not being around many people, and I will go back to it again in our social platforms, or maybe we'll see people face to face. Pray. Keep alert. Pray that the Lord will open those doors for us to be a blessing. It could be this deep for you. It could be a moment like this. But I believe that every moment when that door opens, it's just like this. It gives us an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let our words be seasoned with thought. Let's offer grace with our words. And when there's moments when people are seeking the answer, we can lead them to Jesus. I love you. In your home, I want you to bow your head right now. Please, bow your head. If you're sitting there with your family, if there's a dad in the home, look at your family and says, let's really listen at this moment. So if there's only a mom in the home or just a dad in the home, you take your children and you lead them. Make where you are an altar of prayer. Take this moment. to really do something great in your home, begin to pray the things that Paul was praying. Pray those moments, husband, wife, that my words will be gracious to one another. Get started in the home. That my words will be gracious. Be gracious. Some of you may be listening today that you decided to watch us today and you don't know Jesus Christ. The door has been is open. The Lord is speaking to you. He's calling you home. He's calling you for repentance. He's calling you to believe in Him today. Those that are in fear, be honest with the Lord that you have fear, and He's going to help you through. He's going to help you through.
So whether it be in your home or at work, if you are still working in the midst of this, let us be challenged and take every opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are around about us, even when it's uncomfortable or when it's inconvenient. Thank you for joining us today. We pray you have a great week. God bless you.